Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I have CJ and Bubble Boy in the studio with me. I also have Bill the Engineer. I can't. I'm not joking. He really is here. Bill. Well,
can
Bill,
I leave?
No. You have to stay.
Please, sir. Please, the doors, shackles. Doors, can they be released?
Doors are automatic locks. There's nothing we can do.
That's right. It's
time
on a
release,
timer.
Man. Time release.
Yep. So we got...
there's always the back door, though.
Bill, the producer, slash engineer, whatever you want to call it. He's been missing in action on Scuba Radio for some time, but he's here today in the studio with us. Not by choice. But regardless, he's here. And we got him to talk
about
some
Is he having car
diving.
Trouble?
That very possible. Like, that
I have spent the last 45 minutes trying to give CPR to these damn sea monkeys, and they are not coming around.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. About that.
They're just husks.
Yeah, they're not. And I wish he would get out of my toilet.
Live, damn you, live!
Wish he would get out of my toilet. It's just not appropriate at this point in time. All right, so Bill's here. Barry the Boater is here, or Barry the Bugger. Take your choice.
I'm all the way in the back. There's too many people in here.
Well, you know, just until Bill can figure out the code, and then you can move up.
You're not a big orgy guy, are you, Barry?
Wow. God, Greg, I tell you what, poor Barry almost didn't make it with this holiday traffic. He got stuck behind some slowpoke in a Subaru with Wyoming tags.
Huh. Weird.
Wyoming.
So strange.
Wyoming.
Also, connected via the web, we got Jerry the Diver Guy, Walt DeMartini, and Eric Douglas. Let's see.
Why are they
here? Why are you here? You're here because we like you.
There's like 90 people here.
Well, no, not necessarily. And you're also assuming that I can bring them up on the... are they here? Talk to me, guys. Where are you? They were here. Let's see. Well, let me see.
What's going on?
No, right there. Are you there?
I see levels.
I don't see them. Where the heck are they? I don't know what's going on.
This is what happens when I'm not there controlling that.
All right.
You know,
well,
could we get a radio professional in to help Greg?
No, I'm going to there's someone that could help.
Unlikely.
Is there any radio professionals in the building that could help?
Unlikely. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with the system here.
I believe you.
You believe me.
I believe that you
Jerry,
do not know what's
guy,
going
come on.
On.
Talk to me.
We are playing without pilots.
Greg, see that thing, that white thing that slides up?
Oh, wait,
Look
that
up.
That's, you know what? I know what it is. This had nothing to do with the system as much as it had to do with Barry. Barry screwed things up.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah.
We're always playing you, Barry, even when you're here.
Yeah. No, they're to blame. We're going to blame Barry.
What chapter in the etiquette book does it say blame your house guests?
Yes, always.
Yeah, now I think they're here. Talk to me, guys. Oh, wait, what is that bubbling
Sounds
voice?
Like a bomb.
Oh, that was Bubble Boy.
Yes, thanks for the whiskey, Greg.
Getting socially lubricated.
Oh, he's right next to me. I didn't even hear it.
Yeah. Now, I think we got Jerry the Diver Guy now, though. Talk to me, Jerry. Are you there? What's going on? Well, I thought I had... Oh, wait, no, there they are. Now, here he is. He's right
what?
Here.
I've been right here.
You're a liar.
Push the button, Greg.
You and your brain fart.
Yeah, no, the computer restarted. It had something to do with, Barry came in. Well, that's what happens when I have Bill the engineer here.
Now it's me.
Yeah, you. Maybe it was you. I was going to blame Barry, but I'm going to blame you. B- because you're never here, and now you hear here, and all hell breaks loose. It all falls apart.
My assumption is that it routinely falls apart.
Wrong!
CJ and Jim seem perfectly comfortable with the situation.
Friends,
I'm assuming it's not the first time.
Friends call him Jim. You can call him Bubble Boy.
You learn to never panic.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so now we got Jerry the Diver Guy, though, connected via the web, and Walt DeMartini from the Gomez Hilton Live.
And here we are.
Yeah,
we're here.
And Eric Douglas, author extraordinaire. Eric, come in. Where are you, buddy?
You know, we're 11 minutes into the show, and you've accomplished absolutely nothing.
Well, yay.
Well, let's start right now. So, if you want to find out more information about Eric Douglas, booksbyeric.com. Check out booksbyeric.com. Now we've plugged one person's stuff.
We accomplished something way sooner than I expected to. How about
that? Fair enough. And way sooner than we usually do.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, finally.
Maybe he's killing time.
No, I actually do have some stuff to talk about today.
That was brilliant.
You know, last week we gave away that mask from seethecrx.com, and the winner was John, a real nice guy. I talked to him on the phone, and right after the show, he asked me for our address, and he sent us some goodies, guys. Look at this.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Jerry, Walt, and
Eric
aren't going to be able to benefit from any of this, but remember, John was a member of the Midland Police Department in Texas.
That's cool.
And he said if, you know, in return for, you know, you hooking us up with this
nice
mask, you guys will never have to worry about getting, you know, a ticket. Just see if you ever have a problem with the law. You just wear this cool little police hat he sent us water bottle. And then we flashed this badge. He gave us these badges, these police badges from Midland, Texas.
Looks
real. We don't need no stinking badges.
These badges.
It looks very real.
Yeah, these badges are 100% plastic. And he says if we flash them, if we ever get pulled over in Texas, they will.
Arrested. Arrested.
Laugh their ass off.
Junior Midland Police.
I think laugh their ass off is what you're looking for.
No. He said they would take care of us. And I think
take care of you
as long as he's on duty.
No, he said it doesn't matter. He said if you flash this badge, we will be.
They will be
it's
taking
like secret
you
code.
Away.
Yeah,
you'll be going
you know,
to
something
a special
about impersonating
room.
A police officer.
Yeah,
they will take care of you.
You think?
Trust me.
He sounds like he knows a little too much about it.
How'd
I
wind up in Tijuana?
Anyway, thank you, John. We appreciate it. That was very nice of you. You know, he wrote a nice letter too. It's golly, it's very impressive.
Wait a minute, your listeners can write?
I know,
Greg.
They're surprising us every day.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll excuse me just for a sidebar, real quick, with Greg, we can't really talk about this on the air.
No.
Hey, so Greg, look at me.
I'm watching.
See this hat?
Yeah.
You know where we could go and what we could get with this hat, food wise?
Where?
You know.
No, you're kidding
me. A certain barbecue joint?
Really? You think so?
Absolutely.
Nah, that would be improper use of a improper use of headpiece.
So we're going for barbecue tonight?
Yep. That could
just
be.
Just wear the hat and say nothing.
Yeah.
Wear the hat and say nothing.
That's exactly my plan.
I think I bet if you use the badge, that would even get you more.
No.
No, you don't think?
No.
I think that's for kids. It says junior on it.
Well, I mean, because you're not a senior.
That's why I sent it to you all.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jerry. See, Jerry
you're
knows
welcome.
A lot about this stuff. All right. Anyway, that was very nice of him.
Definitely
we appreciate
use
it.
This,
he's going to get his mask from See the CRX and
this water bottle.
Take it on his next trip. I think he's going down to Mexico, and then he's going to report back to us on how that went. We have some other stuff to dive into today, too. And I'm going to open this up to everybody because... You know, I mentioned this last week about Rob Stewart, you know, the guy from Sharkwater who...
that's not the person I thought you were talking about.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about somebody
who I think is sexy. Right. No,
John Stewart?
No.
Jackie Stewart?
Yeah, Rob Stewart, you know, he had that accident last year where he died on the rebreather. It was a tragic thing. His parents are suing, dive operators, people in the Keys, all kinds. It's a big mess right now. And we talked about that story. And my thing was like, as much as I know the family is in pain, I feel for all the people that are getting hit up because, you know, the people that went down and found his body, and recovered the body are now being sued. You know, and it's creating a big mess, and it potentially puts roadblocks into divers lending assistance in this regard in the future. And when you get into that level of diving, on the technical side, when you get into rebreathers and trimix and, you know, side mount cave diving, that kind of stuff, that is a whole nother level, way above recreational diving. And we were talking about this last week, and I got up on the soapbox, kind of like that. And I got a call from a guy named Rich. I think he was from Philly. And Rich, if I got it wrong, I apologize. But he got me at a good time. He happened to call the request line. I picked it up, and we had a nice little chat. And I'll tell you what he said, and throw it out there to the peanut gallery, see what they think. Next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diet. See, we got a lot done in that first segment, huh?
Yeah, right.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I always think scuba diving is quite terrifying. Snorkeling, I'm fine. I want to be on the top looking down. I want to be on the bottom looking up.
Underwater, I'm gonna swim against the tide.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, CJ Bubble Boy, Barry the Boater, Bill the Engineer, Eric Douglas, author extraordinaire, Walt DeMartini, even Jerry the Diver Guy. We got a full crew as we navigate the latest diving news and information. Also, by the way, we are broadcasting on Facebook Live today, and there's a bunch of folks already chiming in. I look at those during the commercial break, and I apologize if I don't respond quickly, but if you make a comment, I will read it and maybe mention it and talk about it. We will see. Now, we do have a topic to discuss today that I kind of want to get into fairly deep, pun intended, because, you know, it kind of started from our show last week when we were talking about this issue with Rob Stewart, who died tragically on a rebreather, and it's created quite a story. His family suing a bunch of people, and it's a big mess. And, you know, that'll settle itself accordingly. But it kind of started a conversation on the air from my perspective about personal responsibility as a diver or a student or anybody gets into this activity. And this applies to anything you do, not just scuba diving. But it's really important, you know, from a diving perspective or a dive instructor perspective like that I am. Jerry the Diver Guy is, Eric Douglas and folks that do this, you know, teaching especially. We have to get all kinds of extra insurance and all this stuff to kind of, you know, starve off these potential, you know, lawsuits from people that don't understand the risk involved in diving. But if you are not a diver and you're listening right now, you know, you will have to sign a release before you dive in the water. If you're being trained properly, they're going to have you sign a release, just like any activity, whether it's flying an airplane or, you know, doing any activity that has some risk if you do it beyond the limits of your training. But if you get trained properly, it's very safe. The chances of something happening to you are pretty minimal if you follow the basic laws of diving, which is, you know, dive within your limits. You know, Bill,
if you do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to, where you're supposed to, you will be fine. It's yeah. when you don't do what you're supposed to, not where you're supposed to,
right.
not when you're supposed to, mm-hmm. that you have problems. And it's possible because it's not the type of activity where somebody else does everything for you, that you could do something wrong. And that's where the danger in the activity is,
yeah.
not in doing things right and then things still not working correctly.
Unless you're who?
Unless you're Bubble Boy.
Kelly.
Who?
No.
Yeah, what yes. are you talking
no,
about?
No, no, no. She didn't do everything correctly.
We need to put out the disclaimer that Bubble Boy has been drinking.
That's
so
not that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one who has been, I don't believe that there's anyone who's been injured doing things correctly. If you don't know what you're supposed to do and you just don't do it right, you can be injured. But if you don't.
Well, you're supposed to dive within your limits and within the training scope. Where people get
Correct.
Into problems most of the time is when they go beyond that envelope.
Correct.
And in the case of Rob, he was definitely outside the recreational limits and doing some stuff that is on the extreme fringes of a diving period. I mean, rebreather's in there. Eric, I know, can relate to this big time because he's studied this, in his many years in the industry. What do you think, Eric?
Well, I wanted to say one thing. I'm sure I'll say more than that, but one thing to Bill. Believe it or not, even the only way to fully avoid a dive accident, to never, ever get the bends, is to never dive.
Right.
Even the best table is based on a 1% chance that you'll get decompression sickness.
Mm-hmm.
So 99 okay. times out of 100, you're fine, but one time out of 100, theoretically, you could still get the bends. So even if you do everything absolutely correct, there's still a chance. It's 1%. It's very small, but there's still a 1% chance that you could get the bends.
But you also assume that responsibility by by committing to doing the activity, like you know it going in.
Absolutely, but no, you're 100% right on the rest of it. I've written so many articles over the last 20 years that I've been in the industry, written this so many times of people. It's very rarely the unexplained case of the bends. It's somebody violating the rules, violating their own personal rules. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, for those of us who are instructors, too often we get cocky about our abilities. We get cocky about the things we've done and know we can do. And we Greg. Break our own rules and end up paying the price for it, or our students pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, right.
I would say a part of doing the right things at the right time is knowing what to do when things don't go exactly the way they're supposed to, too. Because things are not going to always go the way they're supposed to. Unless, well, even if you're at Disney at that dive at Epcot. It may not go as planned.
Well, yeah.
But in okay. general, it's knowing what to do when things don't go exactly
well,
the way they're supposed to.
How would
to,
you
too.
Possibly know what to do when a Sharknado hits?
Well, you've seen the movie. Hello.
Yeah, just carry your chainsaw.
That's right.
Okay.
Duh.
One time when I was at SeaWorld, I was molested by a dolphin.
All right, just turn his mic
Not
off.
True.
So, you know, here's the thing, though. I mean, personal responsibility was my focus of last
Miami
week.
Dolphin?
And what Rich mentioned to me on the phone, though, he said all this talk of this responsibility. He goes, I understand that. He goes, but, you know, what's the deal with rebreathers? Are rebreathers dangerous? Because, you know, I suck through my tank so quickly. I was thinking maybe a rebreather might be a solution in that regard. And I'm like, no, that's not really what I would recommend, you know, going down the rebreather road. If you have, you know, problems managing your air supply, sure, a rebreather can give you more air to work with or recycle the air you use, but that's not really the purpose of going down the rebreather road. What I said about the rebreathers was that, look, if you're going to do it, they are amazing units. These are fabulous pieces of equipment, allows you to get closer to the critters, have longer bottom time. Yes, it is like having more air on your back too, but the downside is if you're not committed to doing the training necessary and the commitment to putting this stuff together, this equipment, it's very unforgiving if you make a minor mistake. Unlike
Jerry. That is exactly why it is considered an extreme sport.
Okay.
It uses highly specialized gear.
I don't know. Are rebreathers considered extreme sports? I'm not sure.
No, scuba diving, period, is an extreme sport.
You can ask your insurance agent.
Yes, that's extreme. How they like to put that.
Anything with a specialized gear or adventure is extreme.
It's kind of like his still up there in Virginia.
Precisely. More
it's specialized.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got a full crew today for sure. And talking about rebreathers and personal responsibility of divers. And before we continue, I do want to say one thing about the rebreathers. And I got this across to Rich in Philly, who called me up and had a chat this week. He goes, why are they so dangerous? I said, you know, I don't like that word dangerous. That's not really a good description of a rebreather. What I am saying is that rebreathers are another level of diving that takes another level of dedication, commitment, and assuming even more responsibility than open circuit scuba. And if you're willing to take on that extra risk, it's extremely rewarding and a very just an amazing tool to get closer to the marine life and experiencing the underwater world on a level that is really unique, very much different than open circuit scuba. It's like learning to dive all over again. And the benefits are, you know, pay off in spades. But if you do not learn how to use them properly and commit to the process, they can be extremely unforgiving if you make a very small minor mistake and you could lose your life. You know, which brings me back to the situation with Rob Stewart. And anyone who goes into that training, even open circuit training, you kind of learn that as part of the process that, look, you know, you dive within the limits of your training. You don't go beyond them. If you do, you are asking for trouble. That is drilled into your brain. That's what instructors teach their students. I told CJ and Bubble Boy that. Bill's heard that before, right,
I've
Bill?
I've heard it often, many, yeah. many times.
So,
and I know how much you enjoy the rebreather.
Yeah,
you enjoyed your rebreather experience. I remember you talking about it the first time you did it
right.
and how much you liked it. That was probably 100 million years ago because
well,
I was hearing the show every
yeah.
week.
Yeah,
but I have a couple of questions.
You do.
One, definitely germane to this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is what I'm going to start with, and that is, he's from Philly. Cheese whiz or actual cheese? Did that not come up?
A cheese steak did.
That's what he's saying.
Cheese whiz or cheese, provolone? I mean, that's the question. Ask a guy from Philly.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
And I just wanted to remind you,
this shark, swallow you whole.
But I'm scared of sharks. 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 They'll bite you. Bite you. I don't want to get my leg bit off by a shark. 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 Stay away, shark. Sharks are fast. Sharks are mean. Sharks will bite you in the spleen. Sharks are fast. Sharks are mean. Sharks will bite you in the spleen.
I'll catch this bird for you, but it ain't gonna be easy. Bad fish.
Stay away, shark. I don't wanna get my leg bit off by a shark. Shark, 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 shark.
You don't know me.
Stay away, shark.
You don't know what I got.
That's true. And whatever you got, I don't think you need to worry about sharks, though. I think you have other issues that you need to deal with. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, Philly cheese whiz or cheese what?
If you go to Philadelphia, you get a cheesesteak. Okay. And there's the two places, Pat's and
Pat's. Philly cheesesteak place.
So Pat's is one of them. And they're at a weird intersection. They're kind of diagonally across the street from each other at this weird intersection.
Right.
And one of the places, Geno's. I think it's Pat's and Geno's. But anyway, one of them, Cheese Whiz is the preferred method. The other one, it's provolone. Mm-hmm. And everybody from Philly has a choice. And everyone, this is the thing that you decide. It's like if you're from New York, you're a Mets guy or a Yankees guy. If you're from Philly, you're a Cheese Whiz guy or you're a provolone guy.
All right, well, just so we're clear, Rich called me. I didn't call him.
But you didn't ask any questions. You need to get more background information when you talk to someone from Philly.
Okay.
This is broadcasting journalism.
True.
101.
All right, so next time I talk to someone from Philly, I should say, do you prefer Cheese Whiz or cheese to slather on your, what, on your back or what? What is
wow. Forget I said anything.
Yeah.
Are you listening to your own show? I have a legitimate question.
Are you hearing this?
I have a legitimate question. And that really is, what is the basis for which the rescuers are being included in the suit? Well, is it because they were from the original dive vessel, so they were there, so they're part of the problem? Is that the argument?
Yeah. I mean, all of that. You know, the dive operation, you know, the investigators that work for, you know, like, there's some issues because the lawyers that are protecting the dive operation and some of the people were down there on the recovery dive. They also happen to be world-class recovery divers. So there's some, you know, crossover there, and they're like, oh, that shouldn't happen, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the Keys don't have a lot of resources when it comes to deep recovery dives. And this,
right.
And it's a whole thing. It's all on the internet and all that stuff. And you could really get deep in the weeds on all of this. But the bottom line is, and, you know, I don't know how Rob Stewart thinks about it, but I'm telling you, as someone who's been through the rebreather training or anybody who's been through just open circuit training, you learn this, that you are assuming a certain amount of responsibility for participating in this sport. And when the family comes back after a tragic accident that could or could have not been prevented, I mean, there's so many different things that could have gone wrong. I'm not sure. I know how I would feel. It's like, hey, look, you know, I went into this with my eyes wide open. Now, if someone left me at a dive site and the dive boat went away, of course, there's some serious negligence involved. If I went down and something happened to the equipment, or I got into an environment where I was in over my head, no pun intended, and got into a situation where I was pushing my skills way beyond my training, look, that's on me. I did that. I put myself in that situation. There's no one else to blame. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm going with this from the legal standpoint and all the suing and stuff. Obviously, that makes things miserable for everybody and just ends up limiting what we like to do, you know, as free as we want to be in that regard, and it ends up, you know, having some bad ramifications for everybody potentially in the future. But, you know, so I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Eric, I mean, you're the one who has the most experience with dealing with this kind of stuff. Are you on the same page as me, or am I missing anything? What do you think?
No, I agree completely. I mean, obviously, if there's a level of negligence, if somebody does something inappropriate, and that's I don't have a problem with a lawsuit after an accident in general, just because that's a good way to find out if there was a level of negligence.
Sure.
Not to name everybody who happened to be in the Florida Keys on that particular day. Is a bit much,
yeah.
But no, yeah, you have to be willing to say, I'm going out and doing this, and I'm taking my life in my own hands. If you're skydiving, if you're right. ziplining or whatever, you're going to be signing a release. One of the things, actually, it's funny, I was just actually having a conversation about rebreathers and a fatality tied to a rebreather just a few minutes before I came on the show with somebody else.
Hmm.
The person who died, you and I both know, but was a super accomplished diver. I mean, he had literally written books about diving, but he wasn't checked out on the particular piece of equipment he was using, and it was a rebreather, but wasn't checked out on that particular rebreather unit, and paid the price.
Yeah.
And unfortunately there was a lawsuit after that too, but, and I don't want to get off into that, those weeds either, but mm-hmm. yeah, there comes a certain point where you have to say, I'm willing to take responsibility for my actions, whether it kills me or whether I survive it or whatever, but you have to own up to it.
Right.
If somebody else does something stupid, leaves you out when you're out there, or yeah. if somebody failed to train you appropriately, then there's a liability level. But just to blanket everybody in a lawsuit is just kind of silly.
Well, it just, like I said, it has ramifications for everybody in the future, which usually ends up limiting what you can do and what you can't do. And
sure,
that's where
you know, if rebreathers manufacturers start getting sued every time somebody dies because they didn't use the equipment properly, or weren't trained properly, then they just stop making the equipment. They can't
exactly.
afford
Kills
the liability
industry.
Insurance.
CJ. Yep.
I think the lesson to be learned here is if you go to Philly and you order a cheesesteak with Cheese Whiz and you didn't want that, too bad.
You know what?
You have to finish it. You already bought it.
I think you're missing the overall scope just by a hair, but I'm just saying. But you know,
if there was anything you were going to miss it by, CJ, a hair is the right quantity.
You don't want hair in your Philly cheesesteak.
No, that's gross.
Yeah. But
or on your head.
You know yeah. the thing is, though, on the other side of the coin, I don't want to present the idea that rebreathers are dangerous. They're not. You just have to be committed to them. And that's what Rich was kind of, you know, wondering about, because, you know, I don't think the... You know, going down the rebreather path is the way to go if you're just having problems with your air supply. You need to work on other things, whether it's your fitness or yoga or breathing exercises and things like that, because that, you know, a rebreather, like I said, is a technical piece of gear. It's like, you know, driving a Hyundai or a Prius versus, you know, a Indy 500 car. You know, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you could get into trouble very, very quickly.
Well, no one should be willing to train him on rebreathers until he's got a couple hundred dives under his belt anyway.
Well, not necessarily, but I wouldn't necessarily say that's the case, Eric, because a lot of the rebreather manufacturers are coming out with more kind of user-friendly, very simple-to-use rebreathers to kind of make it easier to access that market. But, and it's a totally different style of diving. I mean, the buoyancy and all that stuff for a mm-hmm. rebreather is totally opposite than open circuit. Matter of fact, the truth of the matter is if you're open circuit certified and then you learn on a rebreather, a lot of the instructors that I've spoken to prefer people that haven't actually dove before, because they you know, the buoyancy is very different, and it does work against you initially, and you kind of go, wait a minute, when I breathe open circuit, when I breathe in, I go up, and a rebreather, that kind of throws you out of whack on buoyancy. So
if you're new to the equipment,
yeah.
and you're not going on to the type of dive you've gone on before, because this is the exact circumstance. We're with a diver who went deeper than they had gone before on an open circuit system. And so now they're both using new equipment and new dive profiles. So they've got two different things that they're trying to figure out at the same time in this particular case. We don't know what buoyancy, that led to.
The buoyancy for a rebreather unit versus open circuit is drastically different.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't what you would think. You know, especially if you're entrenched as an open circuit diver, you got 200 dives under your belt.
Right.
You're kind of used to how you handle yourself underwater. That can actually work against you initially on a rebreather because you don't have the same type of forces working against you. And that's where it kind of can work against you. Now, you know, being an accomplished diver, swimmer and stuff like that, is that an advantage when you're going into rebreathing? Absolutely. And the learning curve would probably be quicker, but there are certain aspects that it could actually work against you a little bit. But so, yeah.
But no matter what, if you're all out of luck, you don't want to use the rebreather.
Or Cheese Whiz.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
There's been some articles on the web lately about how certain chemicals in sunscreens are bad for you, the environment, and are killing coral. A lot of it is overhyped marketing propaganda. Just know, Reef-Safe Sunscreen by Tropical Seas has been independently tested and scientifically proven to protect you from the sun and not harm ocean inhabitants or the reefs. Since 1995, over $500,000 has been spent in testing to prove what it says it is, Reef-Safe. Can other sun care companies claim this level of commitment to back up their claims? Not likely. For ReefSafe, it's not about the ingredients as much as how they work together to create a waterproof sunscreen molecule that forms a breathable film on your skin. Plus, ReefSafe biodegrades before creating issues for marine life and the coral we all want to enjoy and protect. So don't be fooled by unscrupulous marketing claims. Go with the original. ReefSafe. Ask for ReefSafe sun care at your dive retailer. Or for more info, go to reefsafesun.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
When I was a kid, I got hooked on watching nonfiction television in the guise of the undersea world of Jacques Cousteau.
Jacques Cousteau was huge.
I watched, they were on about once a month, and it wasn't just the ocean. He would go into, like, lakes and stuff. I remember he went into Lake Titicaca in South America, and they took the submarines, and he said, we took the submersibles to the bottom of Lake Titicaca. Much to our surprise, we found nothing but titties and caca. That's the joke we said the next day in junior high.
Let's get underwater, don't you worry, 'cause everything's gonna be fine. Let's get underwater, don't you feel it, the silence here is divine. Let's get underwater.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You know what we're gonna do? Yeah, we should get underwater, absolutely. That's what we do as divers. Whether it's open circuit, rebreather, you name it.
Just get underwater.
You know, I did that just for Bubble Boy, and he left the room.
Where the hell is he?
I don't know. Oh, he's refilling his socially lubricating beverage.
He's eating your cookies.
Yeah, is that what it is? Okay.
Oh, here he is.
Was well, that maybe code? He's peeing.
Dude, you missed it. He played something specifically for your benefit, and you were not here.
Yes, we did, and you didn't even
it
hear
it,
Bubble
Tom
Boy.
Tom Hanks talking about Lake Titicaca. Yeah.
That's all right.
That wasn't the response I was expecting him to cry. I wasn't expecting him to cry, but I'm touched.
Well, it's that time in the month.
I guess I'm just left with Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right, so Eric Douglas had to leave us. So our voice of reason has been replaced by Vinny Two Tanks on the left coast. Vinny, come in. How are you, buddy? Talk to me. Vinny.
This is going to be fascinating
it
radio
is.
Once again.
We lost Vinny.
Hit the button.
You know what? Vinny doesn't have his video up, so that means he's probably sleeping. All right. What about Jerry the Diver Guy? Jerry the Diver Guy, you're there? Jerry, I don't hear you either.
No, I'm not here.
Oh, there you go, you rat bastard.
Hey, man, Jerry's not here anymore,
you
man.
Guys need to take personal responsibility for your audio feeds.
Well,
because I'm not going to.
Jerry.
Yes, sir?
Do you ever do rebreather diving?
No.
Now, does it interest you?
I would try it, but I'm not really interested in it, no.
Really? Why?
I just never had an opportunity to try it, to even to see if I would like it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm telling you, if you tried it, you'd like it. But once again, you got to commit to it. Now, I only did...
Jerry's not into commitment.
Well,
well, that is true. You're right, Bill. I'm not into commitment.
All right. So, you know, the thing is, though...
I have a wide variety of wives who will testify for me.
I went over to Aquanauts Grenada and worked with Peter and Galinda and a few of the folks over there, and they trained me on the AP diving system, the silent diving rebreather, the Evolution and the Inspiration. Had like a 2-week course. We did some dives. We did the longest dive I ever did in my entire diving career, literally 3 hours long.
Wow.
And that, I mean, I can remember, literally, I can walk through that dive in my mind like it was yesterday because it was so impactful.
And not one lobster was caught.
There was no lobster catch. You can't really, in U.S. waters, I don't think you'd even catch lobster on a rebreather. It's not allowed. It's unfair. Yeah, it's true. What are you laughing at? He's drunk, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, it really is an amazing thing to be able to stay underwater 3 hours and go through this. It was just a remarkable experience. And then you have no bubbles, and the fish literally, you know, once again, I've told this story so many times, but we about halfway through the dive, we came up to this reef ledge after swimming through some seagrass area from like a wreck to this reef. And right before we get to the reef, all three of us sat there and kneeled down in the sand right next to the reef, and we're watching the fish. And within 30 seconds, the fish, literally all these little tropicals and bright colored fish, start to migrate over to us.
They thought you were a reef.
They did, because we weren't making any bubbles. And they just thought, hey,
like,
here's something we can go.
Hell?
Yeah, and they start swimming up and around your mask and all up into your equipment and stuff. I'm like, holy crap. And I'm looking at, you know, my dive buddy, and I'm seeing them covering her and the dive instructor. It was a phenomenal experience. So it is very rewarding as far as getting under there on a rebreather and experiencing it, because it's like diving all over for the first time.
What about sharks, Greg?
Sharks are the same way. They look at you as another shark, so they have a tendency to come much closer. You know, we don't realize how much the marine life in particular is spooked by our bubbles. But, you know, remember, everything else underwater usually doesn't have a bubble thing going on above it. And, the critters and everything, you know, see that and know when we're diving on open circuit scuba, there's something going on there that I need to avoid usually. And they have a tendency to keep their... you know, keep their distance. But on a rebreather, there that barrier's not there. And it's very obvious when you experience the marine life. And you can tell. They're looking at you like, well, you know, you're there, you're not there, I don't care. You know, and they literally will swim right up to you or swim right by you and don't give you the time of day. It's remarkable. So it really allows for some amazing photographic opportunities, videos, things like that. And then, you know, going that long of a time underwater or going deeper on a single dive is a remarkable experience. Barry, the bugger, you know, he. I think, wait, you got a question about lobstering on rebreathers? Is that it, Barry, or
well,
what?
I was in the back of the bus here. But, yes, you can legally harvest lobsters on a rebreather in Florida.
You can.
Aha.
Yes, you can.
Hey, not on mini season. Maybe it's mini season restriction.
No, FWC doesn't seem to have any restriction on it.
That's a lie.
Research department.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll check it out.
Thanks,
all right.
Barry.
Hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. We got more coming up. Barry is going to be here, but Bill's leaving, so it's safe to return and join us. Stay close.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here, down in the mud here under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.